Back here on our Food Drive Fridays coverage, it's Tyler Crabb, and we're talking with Melissa Zula, the Executive Director of the Pella Community Food Shelf. And Melissa, thanks for joining us. And just starting off, we were talking about it before hopping into the interview here. 1 year, nearly, in this new facility. Let's just start with how things have been going over the last year as you guys have gotten set up here across from Casey's and near Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by and visiting us in our new home. I still like to call it new because it has really only been a year since the open house. It's a little hard to believe because we did a lot of work in the last year and a half. It's kind of like watching your kids grow. You kind of forget how far you have come until you start looking back at some pictures. And we were actually just doing that recently and being reminded that this used to be the sports page. And today it doesn't look anything like that. And really, that's all in humble gratitude to the thousands of service hours that have been poured into this building from people in our own community, from youth groups to adults, skilled laborers. We've seen it all through here, and it's really been beautiful example of God's work.
And one thing, too, that goes hand in hand with that you kind of alluded to was just the changes that were needed to make this space kind of feel like your own and make it a little bit less like the sports page that was here before it. And just kind of going through that process, how have those things been going? How have those changes been going for you guys and just trying to set this up in the best type of environment for those that you serve?
Right. I mean, I think going into this, you know, we were quite naive in thinking that, you know, we could just maybe add a little bit of paint or make a few changes here or there and be able to transfer it right into what we actually needed to serve. But that really wasn't the true situation. And there was a lot of work, a lot of walls that came down, a lot of walls that went back up. In new spaces, we've actually added a new, like a teaching kitchen into here. So new ministry work that can happen in addition to a large community space, that can be shared and used by many. And then, of course, our store and distribution space that we use for our guests. It's much, much larger than what we've ever had before. And we needed it to be, the amount of people that we are serving, the households that we get to work with. It's a special gift. And we want them to know that and feel that. And I think I think it's seen inside of our home here. We've really tried to make it a nice and welcoming atmosphere. And I hope they can feel that from the community space that they enter into all the way through the store experience when they get to receive their groceries. We also were able to add in about 1,000 or 2,000 square feet, I believe, in storage. And that allows us to just continue to use our funds the best possible way because we can buy in greater bulk. So it allows us to do our work a little more efficiently. And so we're really grateful for that as well.
And before we touch on some of those needs and some of the other things that you kind of touched on there, I know that we talked about some of the renovations and things like that. And you mentioned the painting. And I notice now that something that wasn't here a year ago when we were here for the open house is a nice little mural just off to my right shoulder here. And just some of the artwork that's around the facility and things like that. And I know that some of that you had a hand in, but you also had a lot of help in. So I think this would be a great opportunity, too, as we're talking about those renovations, to maybe highlight some of the groups and individuals who really played a big part in making these, you know, great things like the mural and some of the artwork that's around this facility possible.
Yeah, we would be here a while if I went through all the groups because there have been so many that have participated. But I'm really, really grateful from the very beginning. Hoyer Construction stepped in and said, you know, let us walk with you. And they have really poured into this building from there into churches and other businesses and organizations that have either lent their skilled workers, have lent all of their tools, have just provided things. Really, it's been an entire community that has beautifully worked together. The mural that you brought up in here is awesome. The room that we are in is very white. It's very white. It's very gray. I love it. It's got lots of natural light in it as well, but it needed some color. And the wonderful Annika Terpstra stepped in and was able to do this for us. And it is a full wall mural. And it really just highlights who we are in picture. And so it shows a combination of the love. It shows the throat casting of the Lord's seeds to the wheat and the food that he provides. Just the gifts are all kind of on display in this mural. So we're really, really grateful to her that she came along and just shared those God-given gifts with us. And, you know, and again, it's just a total culmination of everybody's gifts that have been poured in here. It's awesome and overwhelming all at the same time to look back at pictures and videos from where we began to where we are today. It's hard to not see the beauty of our community and the way that people share and bless each other to really just, yeah, God just coming in here and saying, we're going to set this thing for a lifetime, which he's doing. He's doing that for us. He's setting this for a lifetime.
Very cool. And we talk about the food shelf as it is, and we've talked about some of the ongoing renovations, just needing bigger space, right? Mm-hmm. You know, needing more space to be able to serve a wide variety of people. If you could just kind of give us an update on where things kind of stand in terms of the amount of people you're serving, the areas that you guys are serving, some of that information.
Yeah. So we are serving more people. I mean, every year it has just continued to ramp, to get larger. And our town right now is really, or our community right now is just experiencing some changes, some economical changes. And so it's being reflected in here as well. And we are honored, so honored to be able to walk with friends and neighbors who need us to be here, who need the gifts that we are able to offer. And so I'm grateful in that, and to be a part of that story. And so we needed the larger space though, to be able to do this kind of work and to be able to serve like we do. I mean, Tuesday night we had probably close to 100 people inside of this room. We're very busy. We have a lot of households to serve. And so with 500 registered households that are participating inside of this community, that means that at any given time, any of those households are welcome to come here and receive food. We also are serving about 240 on the mobile food pantry. That actually equates out to being about 16 different zip codes. So we are doing beautiful work right here in Marion County. In order to do that, it requires space, right? So every single time that we have moved locations, it has been primarily in response to space. So we are in 7,000 square feet here. And in our last location, we were in 2,000. So when you kind of start to think about what we're able to do with that, so this, we should, the way that we are set now, this mission should never have to move again. I mean, so it really is getting set right now for a lifetime of work. So it's quite lovely.
That is awesome. And I know that one thing that, you know, it's not a very common conversation, right, when we talk about the need for local food shelves. And you mentioned 500 registered households in this community and another 240 through the mobile food pantry and just that need. How important are facilities like this to just be able to provide not only a safe space for families to come in, maybe, you know, get away from maybe the pressure that society puts on people for needing food shelves and things like that, and just giving them that environment where they're welcome to come in, get the things that they need and go about their day just as anyone normally would, just by going to their normal grocery store or something like that.
Right. I think it's huge. I think all local resources are needed, no matter where you live, right? But food insecurity, it is at a crisis level, really, in our country. So we're talking about on a local level, but it is truly, this is not only a local problem. This is a widespread issue. And it's really a health crisis, because if you are food insecure, it is going to impact you in so many ways. And it's not just going to, it's going to be physically, it's going to be mentally, it's going to be socially. So for us, it was important that we had a space that we can truly look into the eyes of our neighbors that are coming here and say, this will be here for as long as you need it to be. And I think that's super important, to be able to provide like that consistency, that knowledge that says, we will love you well, and that this community wants to love you well, and we all collectively want to see you thrive. So these are incredibly crucial messages to get across to each other, and we're able to do that in this home. And so so finally getting, after 40 plus years, 44 years almost, of serving in this community, to be able to say that we are in a permanent home is really, really beautiful. So it's not going anywhere, and the need is not does not seem to be going anywhere. And all that I am seeing is that the Lord has really presented us new opportunities to serve. And so as we continue to settle into this home, and as we continue to look around us and figure out what our next steps are, that's what you're going to find out of the Pella Community Food Shelf. So we are going to be looking for new ways that we can serve, new ways that we're called to serve in our own town and throughout our county or communities.
And I do want to touch on those ways that you're going to impact the Pella community, as well as Marion County and the surrounding communities as well. But I want to start talking on one thing that you just kind of alluded to there at the beginning of your answer, and that was the fact that food insecurity is at critical levels, and not just in our community, but nationwide. And it's kind of crazy to think about that from the standpoint of everything else feels like it's advancing to crazy levels in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, we think of technology, we think of the way that mm-hmm. we construct things and just different areas of life like that. Everything seems to be taking a massive step forward. And yet you talk about the fact that we're seeing more food insecurity, which almost feels very opposite to what we're seeing. What are some of those things that you feel like are kind of playing a major factor in the rise in food insecurity, and what are the ways that we can go about trying to combat that?
Right. So let's be super clear. Like, there's no reason inside of our country that people should be hungry. We make enough food. It isn't that it isn't there. It is, now there's a lot of economical reasons to talk about as to why that's not always getting to where it needs to be. But food, as we can all attest to, we've felt the pinch, right? As we're all going to the grocery stores, we know that prices have gone up. And they don't seem to be coming, they don't seem to be coming down, at least in a way that makes us all smile. So I think that the needs are just going to continue. How can we help? Honestly, please get educated on it. You know, even if you're going out and just doing some very simple research on what is food insecurity and what does it mean to not know, you know, you don't know where your next meal is coming from. And for all of us, we should stop and think about that a minute. If you really had to go, where is my next meal coming from? So a lot of us can stop and think and go, well, I mean, I know I have this in my fridge, or I know I have this in my pantry, and that can work well enough. So what if all of those things became, you know, a drastically less percentage wise? So what if you had 10% of what was in your fridge, or 5% of what if what you had in your fridge was not actually a meal? What if you didn't have the funding to actually go to that store and figure out how to put that together? What if what you did have available in your funding was only to put together one meal, but you're not going to know where the next one's coming from? So there are, even in our own community, we're talking about more than 1,000 people are probably being faced with some version of that. And so it might not be at a real, real deep level, but it's at some level of that. Now you start reaching out just a little bit outside of Pella's walls into these communities that surround us, and you're going to find some, find even more people, right? As we kind of continue to find more population, you're going to find also more struggle. And so what I'm huge on is education and people in advocacy, and just understanding that this is a problem that we can actually do something about, right? Like in our country, there are so many problems that we just kind of all get to talk about, but nobody actually gets to do anything about. Well, this is a problem you can actually solve. And we can do that by actually working together. It's important to have partnerships. Like we partner hugely inside of our community to rescue all this food. So going back to there is enough food. We partner so beautifully with Hy-Vee, Walmart, Fairway, the downtown market, Dollar General, to actually rescue food that they otherwise would have been throwing into their dumpsters and get it into the households, that can utilize it. And for them, this was just waste. But for us, it's crucial. And so, so it's important to build the partnerships. It's important to continue to talk to our kids about what is food insecurity, how to identify it in their friends or their peers, and then how to just talk about it, right? Because, we tend to hide behind challenges or hide from challenges, when really we need to do is we need to face them head on and get educated on it. Because when you give things a voice, all of a sudden it becomes less of a challenge. And then you're less likely to attach a stigma to it. So I'm huge on providing some education and some advocacy that says that people are not going to walk alone, and that we can actually battle some of the a crucial issue like this. We can do that by all of us working together and helping to provide for each other.
And again, we're continuing our conversation with Melissa Zula, the executive director of the Pella Community Food Shelves, here on our Food Drive Fridays. And one thing that you talked about in there was the partnerships and how big those are. And I know we talked about the local stores here in town, Hy-Vee, Fairway, Walmart, Downtown Market, and others there. But I know that it takes more than just partnerships with those as well. It takes partnerships with community leaders, with community members. You've had partnerships with the local schools here in town, Pella and Pella Christian High School, things like that. How would you define those relationships with, you know, the people that maybe don't get thought of when you talk about a food shelf, with those, you know, stores that you're rescuing food from, and maybe some of those community members as well?
Right. So I think we think of all the grocery stores, or I hope people do, because they're very important to us. But we actually need everybody. And a lot of this plays into just the physical giving of the resources, whether it be food or toilet paper or paper towel, anything that you're donating, diapers, anything. But there's also like so many partners that we have that really are just trying to help us out financially. Going to the numbers, I mean, we are providing food for more than 700 households. So at any given time, so we have 700 households that can access us totally, and we per month. So 700 households we were providing food for each month, and that's a lot of food, and it takes a lot of resources to do that. And so so it's important that we do our food drives. And a friend of mine just recently said to me, he said, I don't know that I've ever seen so many food drives running. And he was saying that in a really good way, because he said, I'm so glad that is getting out there. And that is so important for us. So for all of those who have participated in that, and there's been a lot of you who've done it, we need those. And when you donate to us financially, we need that too. Because there are going to be items inside of there that those donations that are not going to be donated that we need, right? So if in our demographics, if we have got 500 households that are registered in here, and 50% of them, I want everybody to process that number, if almost 50% of them have children or people underneath the age of 18 inside of them, there's going to be certain kinds of food that we are always, always going to need to have on our shelves. And we are committed to them not being there, or to them not ever being not there. I know it didn't make any sense, but you get the picture. Things like peanut butter and pasta. items that mac and cheese even, some of these things that you need inside of these households, and we will always make sure that they are there. They are good, you know, things that are good proteins and good sources of food. And so, so we'll need financial funding in order to make that happen. And it, buying food, we are 100% volunteer organization. So we do not have salaries that are being paid out of here. You know, we are inside of our building. It is important to us right now. We're very focused on trying to alleviate the mortgage in here. There's been lots of conversation around that. So we're getting closer and closer every day. We are still looking to raise a little bit more than $300,000 to achieve that goal. And then the rest, I mean, so the majority of the money, obviously, that people donate goes directly to food. As a matter of fact, it's somewhere in the neighborhood, 70 to 80% of it goes directly to purchasing food. So it does take a lot in order to do the work that we do, but it takes a lot of funding to do that. And so as we continue to talk about it, we will always kind of come back to that place, because we're going to need everybody's help in order to continue to serve the county like we do.
Very good information there. And I want to break this next question down into three separate questions, because I think you could lump them all in together, but I'm going to break them down into three parts, and I'll do it myself here, so you don't have to try to remember. So the first part of this is, you know, when you're talking about donations and things like that, what are some of the items for the food shelf itself that you guys are seeking to be able to help alleviate some of those needs in the community? And what are the times that people can bring in those donations to help support the food shelf?
Right. Okay. So to basically answer that, when you contribute to us financially, that is going to allow us to purchase exactly what we need when we need it. So if you are not desiring to be part of a food drive who is actively seeking out one particular item, like right now we've got a trailer that is being a fill the trailer event is going on, and they are actively seeking things like toilet paper, paper towel, things like that, which is actually something we're incredible need for right now. We're almost wiped out, as a matter of fact, at the moment. So it's a super important drive. But if you would like to even just contribute to that financially, we will go out and purchase those items, and we'll go out and we'll seek the best deals that we can in order to stretch that dollar as far as possible, right? And so we have a strong partnership with the Food Bank of Iowa, who is also a not-for-profit. And in simple terms, they receive goods from large producers, and then they actually sell them to us at very, very discount rates. So again, we're stretching the dollar further. So we'll start there. The downside to that is they don't always have everything that you might need. So when I say that we have 50% of our households have kids in them, that means that we are committed to having peanut butter on our shelves. If they haven't had peanut butter in a year, then I am actually going to be looking for other sources. And I'm going to search local, because our partners are phenomenal. And our partners are also searching to try to find us the best deal. So this is where all these things are so beautiful, because they all work together. So items right now that we are in just very, very desperate need for are going to be those paper products, things like toilet paper, paper towel, napkins, things like that. Beyond that, for food products, we are very low in items like cereal, macaroni and cheese. So some of your basic items for your pantry. But very specifically looking for those two items.
Good information to know. You touched on the donation side of things financially as well. For those that are interested in supporting the food shelf financially and making those donations, again, what are times that they can catch you guys here at the food shelf to be able to make a donation of that way? And then, you know, if they're doing checks, whatever, what are some of the ways that you guys are able to accept those donations?
Yeah, super easy. Just go to our website, pellacommunityfoodshelf.org. We have a tab on there that includes a PO box. So if you want to send a check, we also have a way for you to pay online. That makes it really, really simple. We also have a Venmo. So we've tried to access some of those simpler sources for folks. To get that to us.
All right. And then the last one, again, we talked about our volunteers earlier, and I know that you said that there's a lot and we could probably name them all, but for those that maybe aren't volunteers right now, but would like to offer their support in that way of maybe volunteering to help you guys out, what are the best ways to reach out and do that? And, what are some of the time frames and things that they're looking at where you maybe have the highest need for volunteers?
Yeah. So we serve on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we are in here Tuesday morning and again Tuesday evening and then Thursday afternoons. So we've tried to align our serving times with kind of different times of the day. So we're kind of hitting the public well or serving them well. So we're in here on Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., and then on Thursdays from 4 to 5:30. We are looking for volunteers though who can serve not only who maybe want to serve in that time, but also some of those that just are like, I just want to be behind the scenes. So we can have volunteers with a variety of gifts and skills, still helping out in here. If you tell me your only day that you're available is a Saturday, I have a job for you. So we have lots of different things available to us. And it's beautiful to just consider. We have about 150 volunteers, but honestly, we've had about 25 new ones come in just in this last month. So, but what's beautiful about our organization is we really have all of these volunteers working towards a common, wonderful goal that serves inside of your own community, to just love each other well. So it's like everybody picking up a tiny piece and doing with it what they can. And so it's really a lovely organization to be able to volunteer inside of.
That's awesome, Melissa. Again, we appreciate the time talking about the Pella Community Food Shelf, and wish you the best of luck as you prepare for a busy Thanksgiving season here. I know that that's going to be a busy time for you guys here, but appreciate you taking some time to sit down with us and talk about the food shelf.
Yeah, thank you so much for stopping in.
Absolutely. That was Melissa Zula, the Executive Director of the Pella Community Food Shelf, here on Food Drive Fridays for KNIA and KRLS.